If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn me to the book of Joshua. That's in the Old Testament, right past Deuteronomy, Joshua. I want to talk this morning. We're going to go to several scriptures real quick, get into this message this morning. Joshua chapter 3, they now have crossed the Jordan River. Jordan River was an amazing river, but he got real nervous when preachers came to town. They didn't know whether to back up, flow forward, flow backwards. It just flowed over its bank. Didn't know what to do every time the God's people got around it. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. In other words, go where God goes. Go where the priest goes. Go where the ark of the covenant goes. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way hitherfore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify or set apart yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Underline that if you are taking notes. He says, tomorrow, or sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Notice God is not only a wonderful God, but he does wonders amongst us. Now go with me to Mark chapter 11 real quickly. Verse 23, the scripture that everybody says Kenneth Hagin wrote. He's preached on it for 50 years or 60 years. Mark chapter 11, verse 3, excuse me, verse 20. Well, we'll read verse 22. Jesus answering said unto them in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God, or have the faith of God. Now look at me for a minute. If Jesus says to have the faith of God, then we must have the ability to use it. And why should anybody get mad if we use the faith of God? If Jesus says, have the faith of God, or have God's faith. For verily I say, now how many of y'all believe Jesus' words? So this is what Jesus said. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now I believe he was looking at a physical mountain. See, it's like he was looking at a physical tree when he told that fig tree, you're going to die today because you don't bear fruit. You were designed to bear fruit. And because you don't have fruit, then you just might no longer exist. Because if you can't feed people, then we don't need you. He says, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. But shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, now who's you? You, right? Me and you. What things soever ye desire. Didn't say what things soever ye need. Desire, which is stronger than need. When you pray, so notice you got to do something. Believe. Now, belief has a beginning, and faith always is. You see, belief always starts with a beginning, and it does have an ending sometimes. And when it ends, it becomes unbelief. Unbelief is not non-belief. Unbelief is believing something other than what God said. So it says this, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and ye shall have them. Now go back to Joshua chapter 3 verse 5. He says, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now I want you to see something here. If you got a mountain, God's got a word. That's the title of this message today. If you got a mountain in your life, God has got a word in your mouth. All you got to do is say to that mountain. It didn't say be a mountain climber. It said be a mountain dissolver, didn't it? Now notice this, the problem with the religious world today, they've taught us for centuries to climb mountains. Well, how can you climb mountains when you got the whole armor of God on? It's a little heavy. But Jesus said, if you would say to the mountain, but what religion has done over the centuries is make you climb a mountain. Because you see, I made up my mind. So many people said, Brother Jesse, I've been in the fire. I've been in the fire, Brother Jesse. The fire is tough. And you know, people say, Brother Jesse, you don't look like you ever have any trouble. You don't look like you ever go through any fire. Well, I learned from you. You told me how it was. So I ain't gonna burn myself.
My God, I got enough sense to believe you. If you've been through the fire and you tell me not to go that way because it's burning, I ain't going that way. Let me tell you, the three Hebrew children went through the fire. I learned. I ain't got to go in a furnace to know, bless God. All I got to do is stay away from the furnace. Glory to God. Because if they went through and got it made, why should I fight a battle? Listen, I've learned to pre-play my life instead of replay my life. When you remember something, you replay something. But my God, when you pre-play, that means you say, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Greater is he was in me than he was in the world. I'm going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. And you say, what you doing, Brother Jesse? I'm pre-playing. I'm not remembering. I'm not replaying. Oh, Lord, gloom and despair and agony on me. You know, Sister so-and-so died last year, and she wouldn't believe it. And we don't know what we're going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, quit replaying and start pre-playing. You understand what I'm saying? Start saying what you want. Don't say what you have. Say what you want. He said, so if you got a mountain in your life, God's got a word in your mouth. So he said, Joshua, tell them to sanctify themselves or set themselves apart because today I'm going, or tomorrow I'm going to show them some wonders. So every day I get up in wonder and amazement. I go, oh Lord, what you going to do today? He said, the only thing I know how to do, bless you. Only thing I know how to do is love you. Only thing I know how to do is give you grace. Only thing I know how to do. He said, you know, Jesse, if it wouldn't have been for sin, I'd have never had a serious thought. God would have never had a serious thought in his whole existence if sin had not yet come into the picture. But when sin did come into the picture, God said, well, I'll make redemption for sin. It's called the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I made up my mind. That doesn't mean I don't have problems in life. I think a lot of people don't think I do. They say, oh, that Jesse Duplantis, he's so full of joy, bless God, make me sick. That's the problem with you people. That's the problem with a lot of Christians. They're them four-letter Christians. Sick, lack, poor. You got to quit saying them four-letter words, glory to God. Why don't you use a five-letter word? Blessed! You understand? Sick, lack, poor, beat. But I made up my mind, bless God. If I got a mountain, God's got a word in my mouth. So I say unto the mountain, I don't say, oh, Lord, let's go to this thing. Because you know, Mama, she climbed it, almost made it to the top, slid down, killed her. No, I've sanctified myself. I've set myself apart from devil's enemy, from Satan and his enemy. And I've set my side with Jesus. And I am going to have a wonderful time in my life. And isn't Jesus' name Counselor, Wonderful, Mighty God, Prince of Peace? Didn't say Prince of War, said Prince of Peace. Possession of adequate resource, nothing broken, nothing missing. Glory to God. Somebody shout with me this morning. Do you see that? You got a mountain? Well, didn't you hear the little worship leader say that? Renee say? She said, you got a mountain? Oh, when she said that, I went, oh, glory, she's on my sermon. You got a mountain? God's got a word. You got a word in your mouth. So just speak to the mountain. See, now you got to understand something about faith. It's so powerful. God had to place a dimension on it. He said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, he didn't talk about the dimension of the mountain. I don't care how big the mountain gets, bless God. But God said, I don't care how big the problem is that the devil puts against you. He said, let it be what it want. But when it comes to faith, I have to kind of size it down. He said, faith the size of a mustard seed would blow a mountain into the sea. Now, why did he put a dimension on the size of the faith, but he didn't put a dimension on the size of the mountain? Because if you use more than mustard seed faith, you'll blow God right off his throne. Do you understand that? Power of what faith is. Mountains understand it. They run. Let me tell you, when God comes to town, I want to tell you something. Mountains physically get out of the way. You don't believe that? Turn with me to Psalms 114 real quick. I'm going to show you where physical mountains start running from God. Can you imagine it? Psalms 114. Hallelujah. It's right past 113. That'll help you. Psalms 114. Look what it says. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, verse 1, verse 2, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. Verse 3. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams. The little hills like lambs. What aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? You mountains that you skip like rams. You little hills like lambs. Tremble thy earth at the presence of the Lord and at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Or in other words, you ain't got a wimp God on your side, bless God. You got God, man, that mountains run away from it. That the sea backs up, that jumps like lambs and rams. Why? Because you got something in your mouth. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Glory to God. So my Lord, I have to watch myself because I got more than mustard seed faith. I don't want to blow up something too much. Hey, I got to watch it. The Lord say, you using too much? My Lord, I prayed some. One time the anointing was so strong in me, and the Lord said, don't touch him. I said, I got to touch. And when I touched it, God knocked the guy back about 15 feet. And he wasn't feeling, he was feeling good till I prayed for him like that broke his neck. Hit the ground, said, but just, I didn't come up here for healing, but I need one now. That happened in Lafayette, Louisiana, at Bethel Assembly of God, Crossroads Cathedral. I'll never forget it. I said, I'm sorry, I can't touch you. Let me get back over here. I mean, I must have gotten from here to that pulpit. I said, Jesus, touch him. And you know, I thought he was going to go back. Instead of all of a sudden, it looked like God grabbed him by the neck. And he come forward, Lord Jesus. The Lord straightened his neck out. He was healed. Isn't that amazing? You see, sometimes people get hit a little harder. Sometimes I exercise a little bit more faith than I should. And the Lord said, back up, son. This stuff is powerful. You got a mountain? Hey, Jesus got a word. It's in your mouth. All you got to do is say it. Say to that mountain. Don't climb it. Say to it. My God, mustard seed mountains can only be removed if you stand firm in the conviction of the word of God. I've had many things come against me. Ladies and gentlemen, all the time. I've been shot at. I've been almost knifed two or three times while I'm preaching. I've had people want to kill me. I've had security had to grab them, take guns off them when I'm preaching. Want to blow my brains out. I've had them want to threaten my wife. I'll kill your wife. And you know, I said, you don't want to mess with Kathy. She got the name of Jesus and a .357 Magnum. And she's like this, go ahead, make my day. She kill him and we raise him from the dead. Come on, Jesus. No mess. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My God, so what? You got a mountain of debt? Smite it. Smite your lack and smite your debt. Glory to God. And command the blessing of God. Quit saying, Lord, please bless me. Lord, please bless me. My God. Put me in a wimp. Stand up and say, I command the blessing of God to come upon my life. And today, I will not be in lack or debt of any kind. Come on, start commanding. Stand up, bless God. Like I said last week, glory to God. I think some of these preachers got, they got women's underwear on or something. I don't know what their problem is. Lord Jesus, get you some fruit of the looms. Produce some fruit. Glory to God. You know, I think it's these different color coats that do this to me. I don't know what it is. Glory to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, Lord. God has placed a dimension on the power of faith, but not on how big the mountain is. My Lord, I had to speak to mountains. We all got to speak to mountains, but I got something in my mouth. And it's not my feet. Well, you better not say she's going to get healed. She might die. You done killed her with that mouth of yours. I very seldom ever go to hospitals, ladies and gentlemen. Bless God. That's what I hired David for. David's the pastor of this church. I'm not a pastor. So I've learned if I'm going to be a success in God's word, that I've got to stay within my calling. So pastor handles all this. Pastor's totally different from I am. We're great friends. You come up to pastor, and pastor just a blessing. Pastor just love you. You know, you say, pastor, I got some problems. Oh, sit down here, sweetheart. And let's just talk about it. You know, I've been having trouble. That's all right. We're going to pray and just believe God with you. You come talk to me. We got some trouble. Shut up. Get out of here. Get your ugly self out there and stand on the word of God. Now go on. Now I know what you say. I'm going to talk to Pastor David. What I'm going to do. Oh, but you put Pastor David and Jesse the plans together. You got covenant church. You know what the covenant church means? We there with you, man. A devil fight you. He fight us. You want some of me? Leapfrog. We eat frog legs around here. We'll cut your legs off. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know why kids. You ever wonder what they do with the rest of the frog? I mean, did they give him little wheelchairs and send him out of the world to beg? Say, what happened? I'm at a cage and he ate my legs. Hallelujah. So I say to this mountain, be thou removed. Be thou cast in the sea. See, you can't just talk to it. You got to tell it where to go. See, when Kathy's mad at me, she don't just talk to me. She tells me where to go. You understand what I'm saying? And it ain't heaven. It's a four-letter word. Hell. You can't just say, mountain, go away. It don't work that way, ladies and gentlemen. You got to tell it where to go. I say to this mountain, be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea. Give it its destination. If you got cancer in your life, talk to that tumor and say, let me tell you, if Jesus took my infirmity, I don't need this. If he bore my sickness, I don't want it. I command you to dissolve out of my body, and I command you go back to the pit from which you came, you cells of rebellion. And wonders, wonders, wonders will happen in your life. Why? You got a mountain. God's given you a word. Lord, I'm going to buy this tape myself. Brother Jesse, you think it'll happen all the time? Isaiah 45 verse 2 says it. Isaiah 45 verse 2 says, I will go before thee, Lord Jesus. I'm not even by myself anymore. God's in front of me, and make the crooked places straight. Glory to God. Sometimes I don't know which way to go. God, just straighten out the highway. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. God is before you. Ooh, Lord Jesus. I never forget in 1979. The reason why I remember it so strong, that was the biggest man I ever saw in my life. I was preaching, glory to God. And it was this big truck driver sitting in the back there. And I didn't know he was a truck driver at that time. And then I just started preaching. I'd been preaching about 2 or 3 years. And I just had brown hair. Oh, Lord Jesus. I was excited. And man, I said to the power of God, I said, you don't believe this stuff. Come up here. He jumps up from the back and said, I don't believe any blankety blank thing you say. Now, this guy had hair like a gorilla. You understand what I'm saying? You ever seen those kind of men that put on a t-shirt, but the hair cuts through the t-shirt, come over the neck, go through the pores of the t-shirt? You know what I'm talking about. You seen that? Hair hanging out like that? Lord Jesus, they need a perm, or they had a perm. I don't know what they got. They could do a weave on their chest. He got up, he started walking at me like, I tell you what, little preacher, I'll show you what I can do. He walking toward me, and I said, Jesus, lover of my soul, kill this sucker before he kills us all. Come on, God, help me out. I looked at the pastor, he said, you're on your own, brother Jesse. I ain't messing with this guy. This guy, good 6'5", probably weighed 280. I mean, not fat, neither big. Coming at me, George, with everything, and I knew he could do it. And I said, Lord. He said, what? I said, mountain. Mountain. He said, I see it. Where you want it to go? I said, I want it down on his back. I want him flat down on his back. He said, when he'll get to the last, or second to the last pew, I'll knock him down because you give me his destination. So, man, I got cocky. At least I thought I was cocky. It was arrogant. I looked at him and I said, you want some of me? Come up here, you big burly fool. Ha! Ha! Boy, that made him mad. I saw people on the pew saying, oh, Jesus, we getting out of here. But he come, well, he was mad. Spit coming out here. Spit, you get them little white balls and spit between you. You know, that gross stuff that's right there. I hope I don't have it. Do I have it? Okay. Boy, here he come, Randy. He come walking out like that. Boy, my legs are going, Lord. Gee, my legs are speaking in tongues. Come on. But boss, something within me. I say to this mountain, be thou removed and be placed on your back. He got to the second to the last pew. He like he run into a wall. There was a guy right there and he went, oh, Jesus. I said, pray for him. He went, Boy, I mean, tears come out of his eye. He starts, and that man cried. He had some water in his eyes. I mean, he had oceans. It's a big boy. I mean, he's just wet. And all of a sudden, the hair and the teeth, it was gross. But he gave his life to Jesus. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was a little scared. But, buddy, when the anointing came, God got in front of me. Now, I couldn't see God, but he surely felt God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I went back to my room, said, Lord, you did wonders today. Wonders today. I said, I know a lady I'd like you to slap right now. He said, no, we don't use my power like that. Don't look at me weird. You thought the same thing. I mean, I've never hit Kathy in my life. I've wanted to. I would never do that. Because women, they can stay up longer than men. They wait till they go to sleep, and they're going to beat your brains out with a baseball bat. But one time I was sleeping so wonderful. You can tell when people are around you. You can tell when there's a presence around. And I was sleeping good. And I woke up, and there was Kathy looking at me like this. Doing this with her head. I thought, what's wrong with her? Must have been about 3 o'clock in the morning. So I kind of lifted my head up off the pillow. I said, what do you want? She goes, I mean, eyes wide open. I said, what do you want? And she headbutted me. She went, Wow, busted. Put me back. I said, what up? She said, what did I do? I knew she lied. She said, I don't remember. She lied. Headbutt me, man. Any of you men have been headbutt by your wife? Don't lift your hand up for God's sake, please. She headbutt me, put a knot on my head. It was not funny, lady. <It's a joke. laughs> She said to that mountain, and not only did she say it, she activated it. Glory to God. See, God went before you. Look at Isaiah 45, verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. That means that you may be in prison. And yet God's going to cut your door down, cut the bars down, rip open. That's what he did to the jail and Paul and Silas. He didn't just let them get out of jail. He broke every lock in the place. Do you understand it? He shook loose everything in the jail. Even the jail had come trembling. But you talk about two guys that are on fire for God. Ooh, Lord. They had mountains. They had words. I mean, their backs bleeding, cut open. My Lord. And Paul said, sing, Silas. Sing. Who wants to sing? Bleed my guts out. Sing, Silas. Okay, okay. This is the day. This is the day that we got beat up. We got beat up real bad. They just start singing. God starts shaking. Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you something. God will shake your mountain, but he can't shake it till you say it. And then you got to go beyond just say it. Then what things you soever you desire. Oh, Lord Jesus. See, so what's happening is there's so much power in you. All you got to do is channel it and focus it. How many of y'all, when you were kids, you'd get one of these little, I'd call them little plastic looking magnifying glass, you know, them little handle on it. And you'd go outside and let the sun go through it. Remember that? And you might try to start a piece of paper burning. How many of y'all did that? Hold your hand. You ever done that? Well, you know, I don't know why bees never did like me. Bees would run after me. Yellow jacket just bust me. Glory to God. That woman think that's funny. I just can't get over that. Glory to God. So my mama bought me one of them little, no, mama didn't buy it. I stole that thing. I think it was this. I was a sinner in them days. One of them little magnifying glasses. And I had a nest of yellow jacket just bust me, buddy. I said, Jack, my day. And I caught three or four of them yellow jackets, put them in there, and I got my magnifying glass. I burnt their wings off. I burnt that. You could see them. Oh, I said, suffer, baby, suffer. Make me suffer, Lord. I burned those things up with them little magnifying. And what I did was I was focusing the power of light on them. You want to get rid of your problem? Focus the power of light on them, because he is the light of the world. And listen, even in darkness, you got light. Now, you Cajun know what bull iron is. Look at that. Look at some people. You go bull iron around Christmas. Hip around, you listen to me. I can't. My gun is missing. The moon is so bright. Let's bull iron tonight. Walking through the woods with my paran. Now, you people that are watching all over the world, you don't even know what a paran is. You got to come down here. You come down here, you're going to pass yourself a good time. You understand? Look at some people. They didn't bow their head. They think that's tongues. Waiting on a revelation. That's Cajun. So, write this point down. God has not appointed you to be a mountain climber. Do you know you can spend your whole Christian life climbing over problems when you should be dissolving them? Do you understand how many times people have done that? How many people would do that again today and do it next week and do it the week after and just constantly do it? Glory to God. See, I made up my mind. I am not going to climb mountains. Now, you know, for some reasons, we've been taught for centuries to climb mountains. We have an urgency to climb one every time we see one. I remember years ago before I was saved, I did a lot of drugs. I went to Phoenix, Arizona. They got some mountains out there. And I said, hey, man, I'm going to climb one of them mountains. I got about one quarter up. And I said, this ain't going to work. Son, I was hurting. So I smoked me a joint, looked like a stogie, one of them big old cigars. I didn't move, but I flew to the top of that mountain and looked over on the other side. Hey. Man, I saw an Apache Indian come by. I thought, my God, where's John Wayne? Man, I was gone. I never did climb that mountain. See, the devil will give you a forest. It's just a facade. It's a mirage. But my Lord Jesus, what you put your foot on, you can have. Now, don't put your foot on your husband.
You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. I had one lady said, I believe in one without loose. I came home and loosed myself from that man. No. T.D. Jakes is not preaching that. Like one lady, she said, I'm getting divorced. I done loose myself. I said, no. Jesus said, love him. Yeah, but he my enemy. I said, love your enemies. But I don't want to. Well, I understand that, but that don't change it. There are a lot of things I don't want to. You know, I wanted to knock Kathy in the head last night. I ain't going to lie about it. I said, woman, man, I've been preaching my guts out. This is my 17th straight day. I'm tired. But yet, you know what she did? She must have thought I did a good job last week. She run back there. She said, Jesse. I said, what? Now when the anointing's on me, I can walk through walls. You understand? My God, come on. We'll walk the Pacific Ocean. Come on. Bless God. Hallelujah. She said, you want to preach next Sunday? I said, sure. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The anointing's on me. But last night it wasn't. Last night I got in 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, why? Why did you ask me that? She goes, did I ask you? Now don't start lying to me, woman. Well, I was supposed to because you were going to be here. You see my point? And some of you had mountains, and Renee started singing on mountains. And I said, Lord Jesus, I didn't know what I was going to preach this morning. I haven't preached. I mean, I've had a hard time to even actually study. I cracked the Bible open today at 9:06. Lord, give me something fast. He said, you got a mountain? I said, yeah. He said, well, say something. He said, I got a word. I thought, that's it. That's it. He said, go to Joshua. Today I'll do a wonder with you. I said, praise God, what should I wear? He said, wear that orange coat. You'll look like a Halloween pumpkin. Boy, go home. Glory to God. I said, okay. Hallelujah. Y'all like this coat? I like it myself. Glory to God. Now, Brother Jesse, supposing the mountain is like a volcano. It goes dead for a while, and then it starts erupting. It starts getting hot and growing, bulging. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, you got a mountain. God's got a word for you. It's in your mouth. I don't care if you've lost your job or you're going to start a new job. Glory to God. Whatever, you know, you're a little nervous about something. Glory to God. Look what 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, verse 13. It says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and in love. You don't hold them because somebody said it. You hold them in faith and in love. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in the anointed Jesus. How did Jesus defeat his enemies? How did Jesus come out of the grave? How did Jesus come out of hell? How did Jesus feed 5,000 people with a two-piece fish in him? He held fast to the form of sound word. He began to say, he said, give me the seed. And then he prayed over it and he gave it to the disciples and said, feed them. He had a mountain, but he had a word. You see what I'm saying? So listen, a while ago you came and needed prayer for your marriage. That doesn't mean people don't have problems. You know, everybody goes through things. Glory to God. You can tell when somebody's had a fuss. You know when somebody's fussing. We call it fussing. You know, you can tell when there's tension. You can come right out into someone's home and know if there's been a fight there. You just walk in. And that cloud's there. And you know, people, you know, they say, we'll finish this argument when these people leave. But they don't realize that everybody can cut it as thick as smoke in there. You can tell? Sure you can. And yeah, so what you do is just rebuke it. You have to rebuke it. And you notice this on Sunday morning, usually when you're going to fuss with your wife. You ever notice that? Had a wonderful week. And come Sunday morning, when you need a miracle from God, she late with the makeup, late, and come on, woman, we got to get down there. Come on. She said, we got 2 cars. If you're in that much of a hurry, drive over there. I'll meet you. Well, now that make you mad. Bless God. Tell you what you said to me. What did you say to me? You better thank God I'm preaching this morning, woman. And get out. Now, we didn't have a fuss this morning by no means. Me and Kathy, we didn't, you know. But you can tell when me and Kathy are fussing. You can tell Kathy, she's like a cat the first day up. That's why they call a cat. Praise God. I can tell when Kathy's a little hot, man. Little man, sometimes she got mad at me and Jody before Jody got married. Kathy get mad. We thought it was so funny, me and Jody. We would just roar when Kathy get mad. Kathy turn around, look at me and Jody and say, out!
I said, let's go, Jordan. Let's get out of here. We'll go somewhere. Mama mad. Come over to me. It's funny when Kathy gets mad. Now, she don't like it, but we think it's funny. Because that little finger goes up. Like that. Just like that. I did. Thank God. Jesus. One time she was so mad at me, she wasn't going to sleep with me. But she don't understand. Once I hit the bed and I'm out, she can leave. I don't even know she left. I'm gone, man. You understand? So my Lord, I slept like a log, George. I did. I was gone. I got up that morning, man, brushed my teeth and everything. And that's Kathy. She's still fussing, you know, just fussing about something. I love. She said, well, what do you think about that? I said, what do I think about what? Well, what happened last night? I said, well, what happened last night? She said, I didn't sleep with you. I said, I didn't know. Oh, now that made her madder. Tell you one thing. You didn't remember me getting out of that bed? Then I made her mad. I said, oh, was that you? I beat your brains. I said, Kathy, I don't even remember you leaving. Look, man, look. Who want to count sheep? It's time to sleep. People say, take me a long time to go to sleep. Let me show you how long it takes, Brother Jesse. That's it. You better say something to me within 30 seconds. It's over. I'm gone. That's it. I'm out of there. I've come to do my job. Lay myself down. And the only time I wake up is if I have to go to the bathroom strong. And then I hate it. And I stay in that bed and just shake. How many of y'all do the same thing? Come on, be honest. Boy, why your kidneys, your bladder need a healing, you're hurting. Oh, I don't want to get up. Finally. Oh! Wham! Out you go. Boy, and you're coming back. About ready to get in the bed. You left the light on! I said, I can sleep with the light on. Sanctify yourself, Israel, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you and for you. Isn't that a blessing? You know what we saw happen yesterday? Was it today, son? Yesterday, we saw the Lord literally put pelvic bones in a woman's hips yesterday. She had her legs amputated and the pelvic bones taken out and the anointing of healing. You were that, all of a sudden she come walking up there and I'm telling you, she says, I had pelvic bones replaced in my body this morning. And Gloria going, really? She said, come feel my hips. Now, if she wouldn't have been a woman, I'd have grabbed her myself. I wanted to go over there and go, you know what I'm saying? God doing things. People say, oh, God don't do that. He did it to her. You know why? She said to that mountain, be thou removed. Be thou cast in the sea. And I don't doubt in my heart. I believe those things what I say. See, you got to believe what you say. Most of y'all believe what God says. But do you believe what you say? You see what I'm saying? People don't have a problem believing what God says, but they have a problem believing what they say. Because they think what they say is not what God said. And yet God says, what you say, I'll say. Isn't that amazing? My Lord. See, so trusting in, adhering to, and relying on are the key essentials in life for the believer. Now, but just how do you do that? Now, how? Well, you keep yourself, you build your most holy faith up with prayer. Go read the book of Jude. Build your faith up in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Holy Ghost. See, that's why the devil has fought the Holy Ghost so strong on speaking in tongues by denominational, non-denominational, interdenominational people. Because you see, he wants to understand every prayer you pray. When you pray in a known language, he understands that. But when you pray in a heavenly language, he don't live in heaven. He's done lost that authority. He's done lost that knowledge. He cannot understand what's going on. So he doesn't know what the Holy Ghost is praying for. He don't understand that. See, it's prime example. He may understand the language, but he doesn't understand what it means. For example, if you took a 5-year-old child, sat them down, or you, Heather, you take your two twin boys. Now they just look. You know how they always looking. No, they're blessed. And you just sat them there and say, and you'd say, boys, I'm gonna tell y'all the business of H2O. Or you take Molly. Or you take, what's the other one there? Holly Marie. Holly Marie. Now, cause she talks real good. And you say, Holly Marie, let me show you something. And you sit her down at the table. Okay, Mama, what do you want? And you tell her all the business that it takes to operate H2O. Then you call over, your sister. Say, come over. Now I want you to tell Holly Marie all the business. Get Michael John over there. I want you to explain all this stuff. You know what, Holly Marie is going to understand every word you said because she understands the English language, but she don't have the foggiest idea what you meant. Why? Because she does not have the knowledge to understand that business. She understands English, but she doesn't understand what all that means. So when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the devil will understand the language, but he don't have the foggiest idea what it means because he's spiritually dead and you speaking in a spiritually alive language. You see that? So all of a sudden you can say something right in front of the devil in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he goes, I understand the language, but I don't know what it means. And you grow in knowledge all the time. Years ago, I used to shave with a razor. I quit doing that and I shaved with an electric razor. Well, I tell you what, man, I kept the toilet paper people in business because every time I cut myself at least 3 or 4 times when I shaved, and I used to put pieces of white toilet paper. How many of you men did that? Stop the blood. Hold your hand up. Come on. I want people to get a shot of this, will you? Hold your hand up. Come on. So people don't think I'm nuts. So you walk out your house after a while, you didn't care. You walk out with the toilet paper on your face. How many of you did that with a little piece of toilet paper on your face? Hold your hand up. Come on. Walk out the house. Men know what I'm talking about. Now, I don't know if ladies do that with their legs. A man can't shave his face like a woman shave her leg. I mean, a woman is brutal on her leg. She just say, wee-aw, wee-aw. Man, a man don't do it. They go, whoa, whoa, wait, wait, wait. Let me. But then women, wee-aw, wee-aw. Oh, Lord Jesus. I didn't like to watch Kathy shave her leg. Lord, I have to pray for healing. I said, Lord Jesus. I said, girl, you can hear it. Just ripping skin. Oh, don't worry about it. It'll heal. Well, one time, man, I got all these pieces of toilet paper on my face, which don't look too nice. And Kathy said, you want to stop that? I said, what? She said, you want to stop that blood? Because them little cuts just bleed, you know. And she took some Vaseline, some petroleum jelly or something. She said, come here. Shut it down. I said, get down with your bad self. Yeah. And she said, Jesse, you need moisturizer on your face. I said, my God, I don't want to put no moisturizer. Leave my face alone. I like leather. I like leather. Glory to God. She says, wait. I said, it takes too long to soak in. She said, you want to soak in fast? I said, yeah. She said, wet your face. I said, what? She said, just wet your face. So I throw some. She said, now put that stuff on. I guarantee you, look at the men. I guarantee you, in a matter of like a 30 seconds, 40 seconds, whoop, the face sucked it all up. Now, when I just put it on my face with no water, it just sits there. Here come a fly. Just sliding off my face. So I thought, she knows something about this stuff. Now, there's some things she does I will not do. I don't worry about the swelling under my eyes. So I'm not going to take teething rings, put them in a refrigerator, freeze them, and then put them on my eyes. How many of you ladies do that or have done that? Has anybody ever come up to you and say, Lord, what happened? Did a truck roll over your face? Your eyes are so swollen. I don't think men don't notice that kind of thing. Women literally put cream on their elbows. Ladies, let me help you. There ain't no man looking at your elbow. It ain't going to happen. You never see 2 men in the mall say, cool, look at them elbows, boy. Now, that is some fine elbows. Son, Lord Jesus. How many of you men's ever looked at a woman's elbow? Unless it was an old woman, got that white, scaly stuff. You go, oh. Now, men notice the size of a woman's arm, especially when you get them, when you got them big bagels hanging out their arms. But they don't look at no elbows. They don't look at any of that stuff. The other night, my Lord Jesus, we had ate lunch, and my God, it was what, 11:30 at night? We still hadn't eaten supper because we were running so much. And Kathy said, I'm hungry. I said, well, let's get some room service. Call room service. They say, it's going to be at least an hour, maybe an hour and 15. Lord, gee, we don't want to be hanging around here. I said, well, she said, you want to go downtown Fort Worth? We'll just walk down there and go to Razoo's. Go down that cage room. So we went down there. Now, boy, when you're hungry, you always eat more than you should.
And it late at night. I mean, there are how many thousands of people down there walking downtown Fort Worth, all these kids, you know, hey, what's happening, what's up, all that kind of stuff. And we just start wiping out this food, you know, we ate it. My God, we come back. Now, we had to go to bed because it's like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I got to be up at what? We had to be up at 8 o'clock because my first session was, what, 9:15 or something like that. And, man, I mean, so I just laid there, and them catfish nuggets start swimming. I said, this is going to be a long night. So I fought that thing and fought that thing. And finally, I just started to stand on the word of God. I said, devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and I command this stomach to settle down. Get your act together. And it did real fast. I jumped up. I ain't going to tell you where I went, but I came back and slept the rest of the night. I said to that mountain, be thou removed. And it wasn't no more. About 20 minutes later, Kathy must have been a prayer. Oh! She said, we're not going to eat like that anymore. I said, no, we're not. Glory to God. We said to that mountain. Let me tell you something. Your words will listen to you when you speak of my faith. Now, let me say this in close. Jesse, how do you keep that motivated? It's 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Some of y'all just seek the Lord, but you don't seek his strength. My God, man, it's great to have the Lord on your side, but you need his power. See, there are a lot of people going to church today. They are seeking the Lord, but they're not seeking his power. They're not seeking his strength. They walk in with a problem. They walk out with a problem. Isn't that amazing? Seek the Lord and his strength. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek his face continually. You got a mountain. God's got a word. Think about that. So I seek the Lord. And then I seek his strength and I seek his face. In other words, I want his attention. Have you ever had your child grab your chin when you're talking, go, mom, mom? And you ever, how many of you ladies have had that happen? Where your child take your face or something like that? They're seeking your face. You see what I'm saying? They want your attention. Well, I want the Lord. I want his strength. But I also want his attention. If I got his attention, I'm walking in a total protection of who God is and who I am in him. So when you see that, when a mountain comes, then instead of you going, I don't know what to do, you prophesy to it. Like God prophesies. And he says that in Zechariah 4:7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Now this is a man talking. Watch it. Zechariah 4:7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou art become a plain. And he shall bring for the head stone thereof with shadings, crying grace unto it. So now when a problem comes my way, instead of run and hide like I used to, I speak to it. Because you see, a revelation without a manifestation becomes a missed opportunity. A revelation that doesn't cause a revolution is really not a revelation. So people say, how'd you get out of debt? I spoke my debts into dividends. Got to turn your debts into dividends. But just why do you don't like debt? Let me say this in close. Glory to God. This will help you. Because if you're in debt, you lose your sovereignty. Do you know what that means? That means someone can control you. If a hiccup happens in your finances, they can come to you and control. You now lose your sovereignty. It is your house as long as you pay for it. Correct? Ain't nobody going to bother you. And thank God they don't. But you see, the reason why God wants you debt free and the reason why we're preaching debt free is so you can have your sovereignty. You see what I'm saying? Which means this. If the economy goes down, if you happen to have a weakling day of faith, you're still not moved by it. So thank God that you got a home. Nothing wrong with borrowing money. I want you to understand that. But now that you've got it, you got your note, don't believe for 30-year payout. Begin to believe and ask God to multiply and multiply your payments. Bless God and get it till you get to a point where you have that mortgage and you go down to the courthouse and you cancel that mortgage. Glory to God. Now, you don't throw away that canceled mortgage. No, because you ever sell that house, they need a copy of that canceled mortgage. And take that canceled mortgage and go put it in your safe deposit box or wherever you keep your personal records. And when they they say, well, the devil said, I'm going to take your house. Oh, no. You don't understand. It's mortgage free. See, your sovereignty is always intact. But you see, the reason why you can't see that, because you hadn't got rid of your mountain and you don't think God's going to do wonders for you. But let me say what Joshua said. Sanctify yourself for tomorrow. And tomorrow starts the business day, buddy. God going to do wonders for you. Well, how do I know that I see it? Jump on Mark 11:23-24 and says, I say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea. I don't doubt with my heart. I believe those things which I say. So not only what God says, you got to believe what you say. I shall have whatsoever I said, and what things soever I desire when I pray, I believe that I receive and I shall have it. How do you know that? Because I hold fast to the form of sound words, which I have heard of him in faith, in love, glory to God. And I say like Zerubbabel, oh mountain, let me tell you what you're going to do. And all of a sudden, I can see as far as my eyes will let me see because I got rid of the obstruction in front of me. You got a mountain? God's got a word. Remember this. A lot of people promise you things. God doesn't promise you things. God prophesies things to you. And if you accept those prophetic utterances, those promises as prophetic utterances, because his word, he will not return, his word won't return void, then bless God for you know it. You walking like God. Now here's something that's going to make you mad. You're going to send me an ugly letter. You're acting like God. Who do you think you are? You're looking like God. And number four, you got what God's got. And you're not a four-letter Christian anymore. You're not a four-letter word Christian. Lack, poor, sick. All of a sudden, instead of the world beating on you, the world's coming to you. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Did you enjoy it today? My God. That good? I like that. Man, my Lord. Now, the Lord sent me here to preach this to you. Now, why? Because he wants your vision clear. He wants you to be able to see. And see what you say. See, that's what your children do. If you tell them we're going to get you an ice cream, in their little minds, they can see that ice cream. Mom's going to get us ice cream. Especially if you're a grandchild. Oh, Jesus, mama going to do this. Mama, whoa, let's go. Isn't that amazing? Praise God Almighty. You see, God's thinking of you as well as thinking towards you. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. My Lord, a miracle just took place. I'm finished for 12 o'clock. If you don't know my Jesus today, he will come into your life and save you. I want to get rid of the mountain of sin in your life. If you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, my God, God will be with you. He want to help you. I would never lie to you because I had so many lie to me. If you let Jesus be the Lord of your life, he'll be with you forever. And I used to stop there because that's how I was trained as a minister of the gospel. Until the Lord said, Jesse, take it further. Boy, that mercy goes stronger. Maybe you're in this building today. No, you're not backslidden to hell by no means. But you're not living the way you should live, and you need to come back to God, draw closer to God. Some people call it rededicate. I don't call it that. I call it selling out. Burning all the bridges. Some pastors don't particularly care for rededications. They prefer a new person getting born again. Well, it's amazing to me when someone comes back to the Lord, all that training they had before they left, they immediately pick it up and start walking forward. None of it's lost. And you know what? That prodigal son never came down the road much, but that father went out there every day looking for him because the father had faith that he would come back. So with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to get saved for the very first time, or, and be honest with yourself, you're not where you should be with God and you need to come back to him. Would you give me the honor of going to the throne and say, Lord, here's a person that knows about you, but they don't know you. They knew about you, Lord. They've been to church all their life, but they don't know you. Or, Lord, here's a person who's had some tough times, but tough times don't last. Tough people do. If that's you today, if you'd like to get saved for the very first time, or if you're not where you should be with God, and be honest with yourself, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see your hand, sir. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Ushers, help me. If you see a hand I don't see, yes, I see those hands. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see your hand in the back. By lifting of a hand, yes, sir, I see your hand. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. By lifting of a hand, you're saying, I want to get saved. Or you're saying, Brother Jesse, I got to be honest. I'm not where I should be, and I need to come back to God. Could I see one more hand? Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Could I see it? Way in the back, I see your hand. Yes, sir, I see your hand. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Thank you. Yes, I see your hands. Yes, I do, sir. Yes, I see your hand. Look at the people. My God, my God. Thank you, I see that hand. Could I see one more? Don't miss my friend. This wonderful Jesus. Thank you, I see that hand. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Thank you, I see your hand. Yes, I do. I see it. Thank you. In the back, I see your hand. You may put your hand down, sir, with the purple shirt. I see your hand. I want everyone to look at me. Let me say it again. I never lied to you. I had so many lie to me. Many of you lifted your hand. I said, Lord, thank you. That blood did it again. It wasn't my eloquence. It's not how I said it. It's Jesus saying, hey, amazing love. All I want to do is help you. Many of you lifted your hand like that. That took integrity to do that. It wasn't easy. But I'm going to ask you to do something harder than this. Simply because Jesse the Planets and Covenant Church loves you. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some of you, because see, you're a person of integrity. I'm going to ask all of you that lifted your hand to get out of your seat and come stand here in the front. In the front of everybody? Well, what's wrong with that? Jesus hung on a cross in front of everybody. He's not asking you to do that. He's just asking you to make a public statement. Get out of your seat and come. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Isn't that a blessing? Come on, young man. We're waiting on you. Oh, glory. Isn't that a blessing? All you that have come forward, I want to pray a prayer with you. Look at me. You'll never be another day without prayer. This ministry prays for people. We believe God with you. Whether you're just visiting us or you're a part of us. If you don't have a good church, this is a good one. Pastor David will truly love you. Pastor Betty, all the Covenant Church people. I don't mean this to sound arrogant. We're good people here. We're for you. We don't get into competition or jealous when you get blessed. And we're not mad if you go to another church. We're just glad you go. But what we want you to do is grow. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I want what God said I could have. You know what religion does? Religion invites you to church or invites you to a restaurant in a sense. You sit down. You never get food, but you get a bill. That's religion. They make you sit down. It's in a beautiful setting, but food never comes, but you get a bill. But at Covenant Church, you come, you sit down, you eat, and the bill's been paid. That's the difference. That's how much we love you. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. I'm going to ask everybody in the audience to do the same. You watching by television. How could we ever forget you? My God, my partners, my friends, you that have so graciously helped us with your financial remuneration every month. You send monthly, we get people saved daily. Increased giving produces increased results. There will be some information that will come up on the screen. If you write that, we will bless you like we will bless these that have walked forward here at Covenant Church in the suburb of the city of New Orleans. It's called Destrehan. You pray with us. You see, I see a camera. You see a television set. But God sees me personally and sees you personally. As I said earlier in the message, faith destroys all distance between God and man and between me and you. God will touch you if you let him. I would never lie to you. I'm telling you, God touched me. I know he'll touch you. Are you ready to pray? I'm going to ask everybody to repeat this prayer. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there for just a minute. Give him a hand clap. You made it. That's pretty easy, wasn't it? That wasn't hard. Wasn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. Isn't that nice, lady? Isn't that a sweet thing? Think about that young man. I've said this thousands of times. I got to tell you again. Guess what? Y'all gonna spend eternity with me. I'm a nice guy. We're going to heaven together. Isn't that a blessing? I might live next door to you. Wouldn't that be something? I'd be at your house every day. Yes, I will. I'm going to be a lot taller. I'm going to have brown hair. I believe in God. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. We're going to take in a little rum over here. We want to give you something. Whether you just visiting, whatever. You know, we want to bless you. It's called family. We don't want you never to forget what you did today. Covenant Church will love you. We will love you. This will only take a minute or so. We'll pray with you. Then we'll release you right back to your friends because we know you're getting hungry and things. You have to do things this afternoon. But we want to bless you. So, Randy, which way are we going? So we know, Randy, both hands. Would you do this? Would you follow this man with the Bible in his hand? Go receive something from us. We'll give it to you as a blessing. All of you, pray with you for a minute and then we'll return you to your seat. So just follow that man and walk right through those two double doors. Give him a hand clap. Amazing love. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, glory. Oh, glory to God. Amazing love, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, give them a hand clap. That's your brother and your sister. Oh, glory, glory, glory.